Certainly is good to see everyone today. I'm going to take this opportunity to invite you back tonight at 5:30. We began a new series of lessons last week on centered, having our lives centered, and we began with having Jesus as the center of our lives and how important that is. Tonight we talk about being centered on God, and so I hope that you can be back tonight with us as we study. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of John in chapter 12. John chapter 12, that will be our first scripture this morning. You know, all good stories, that we like to read or that we movies we like to see, generally have good guys and bad guys. They have people that we root for and they have people that we root against. And in a lot of those stories, you know, we want the good guy to win in the end. We want the happy ending. We want the one that's been in trouble or the one that's been in peril to be successful and to win out in the end. And then the bad guy, we want to see him get what's coming to him. We want to see him reap the reward for their misdeeds. But you know, in life, it's not so easy, is it? It's not so easy to see the good guys and the bad guys. Sometimes we can even get them backwards. And once we learn more about a story or more about a situation, we find out what we thought is not exactly true. So sometimes those lines may be blurred a little. In life also, it's not so easy to punish the guilty like in the movies or in the books we read, because it's not so cut and dry. And unfortunately, sometimes we might even find ourselves in the place of the bad guy. We might find ourselves in the place of the person who's made the mistake or who's done the thing that they shouldn't have done. Scripture has a story just like this. And as we've studied over the last couple of weeks, we see the story of Judas. And his story is very similar to this. He's the bad guy, right? When we read the story of Jesus and we read the story of his betrayal, Judas is the bad guy, right? He gets what he deserves, right? And the bad guy gets what's coming to him, right? But as we sit back and think about the story of Judas, here's a question. Is there anything at all that we have in common with Judas? Do we share anything with Judas? As we look at the story of Judas this morning, It is a character we look at as a bad guy, because essentially in Scripture, is he not framed that way just a little bit? Isn't he framed as the guy who does the wrong thing? As we look at the list of the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, as we look at the list of the 12, in all three renderings of the list, it's interesting to note how Judas is listed. In all three, he's listed dead last. He's the last person listed. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 10 and verse 4, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Mark's account, Mark 3 and verse 19, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. That's the English Standard Version's rendering of those verses and how Judas is listed. So every time, early in Scripture, early when we read about the 12, you know, when we talk about the 12, we're really only introduced to just a few of them, right? I mean, really, you go back and look at it, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know them. But some of the other ones, we don't know quite as well. And when we get to the listing of the 12, we hear their names. Judas is one of them. But yet when we hear his name, it always comes with a description. He was defined by what he did. So almost from the get-go, we're set up to kind of look at him as the guy who wears the black hat, the guy who is the bad guy. He was the betrayer. But you know, Judas is not much different than we are. Judas had character flaws. He had issues. He had character issues. If we look at John chapter 12, beginning in verses 4 and 5, it says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?'" Here's the story of Mary anointing Jesus. And she anoints his feet with this expensive ointment. And as Judas sees this, this is his response. "Why could we not sell this and take the money?" You know, it appears then that Judas was not afraid to speak his mind. He may have shared some things with Peter. Usually it's Peter who says the thing, right? Usually when they come to something and it's confusing, or Peter thinks something ought to be a little different, he's the one that speaks up and says, "Hey, what about this?" In fact, is it not Peter the one who gets out of the boat when Jesus is walking on the water? "Hey, I can do that if you can do that." Peter's bold. He's usually the first one to talk. But in this case, Judas is the one to speak. And so it appears here that obviously he was not afraid to speak his mind and say what he thought. Sometimes when we say exactly what we think, we can get ahead of ourselves. Judas had some character flaws. Also, it appears here that this event made him angry. And his anger got the best of him. It appears that this is the event that spurred him to go and seek to betray Jesus, to see if he could profit somehow off of Jesus. And so his anger got the best of him. He had some character flaws. He also had a battle with sin. In the same opening in John chapter 12, the next verse, verse 6, says, "He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it." I find it interesting that John is the only one who records this, but he makes it pretty plain, doesn't he? Judas liked to help himself. Ultimately, the reason he is mad about the ointment is not because he wanted to give money to the poor, it's because he wanted some of it. And he was the treasurer, in a sense, and he would help himself. He had a problem with sin, he had a problem with greed, he had a problem with stealing. He had a sin problem. He was battling sin. Luke, in his account, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, it says this, "Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd." Verse 3, "Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot." Anytime we allow him in, we invite the sin problem. Judas's heart, Judas's life, Judas was in a place here that invited Satan an opportunity, and Satan took advantage of that opportunity and moved Judas to the point that he was willing to betray Jesus. Judas had a battle with sin. But you know, the story of Judas is not finished. When we talk about his character flaws and when we talk about his sin problem, they did not have to define Judas. Judas had a chance at redemption. Judas had a chance to make it right. In fact, it appears, as we see in Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 3, that Judas second guessed what he had done. It says there, "Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is this to us? See to it yourselves.' And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed." What if that verse ended right there? He departed. He left. What if he had taken a break? What if he had taken a pause? What if he had thought about maybe the option of redemption? If the verse ends right there, if there's a period instead of a comma, and we don't have the rest of this verse, and then we can read of him later on making restitution or repenting, perhaps we wouldn't read of Judas the betrayer. Perhaps when we say his name, we wouldn't talk about him in the way we do. Because at the point we have that comma in that verse, when he departs, he has a chance at redemption. But unfortunately, the comma is there. And unfortunately, the rest of the verse is there. Where it says, and he went out and hanged himself. I asked the question this week, what do you think Judas thought was going to happen to Jesus? I don't know if I phrased it exactly that way, but that was the point of the question. What do you really think Judas thought when he got the 30 pieces of silver? Do you really think he thought it would go as far as it did? I'm not sure what Judas thought. I don't know if he thought it was going to get as serious as it did. Maybe he did know that. And maybe since he knew that, maybe he began to think about what that meant for him. Because when Jesus talks to him before he betrays him, he talks about how it would be better if he hadn't been born. And perhaps he's thinking back to that conversation with Jesus when he realizes what he's done, and he goes out and he hangs himself. But the point of this message about redemption is that Judas did not have to hang himself. Forgiveness was available. Forgiveness could have been granted. But he didn't take advantage of that opportunity. He gave up. And because he gave up, when the list of the 12 is written, we talk of him as the one who betrayed Jesus. If you want to see how that can be illustrated, when the name of Peter is mentioned in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, and in the book of Luke, how do they mention Peter? Do they mention Peter as the one who denied Jesus? If you go back and you read the listing of the 12, Peter is not listed as the one who denied Jesus. He's just listed as Peter. Why? Because he sought redemption. What do we share in common with Judas this morning? You know, unfortunately, we all have character flaws. We all have character flaws. Now, I don't always see mine. Other people have to point it out, right? We all have character flaws. Sometimes it's our impatience. Sometimes it's much like Judas and Peter. We speak when we should listen. Sometimes it may just be apathy to the world around us and ignoring what needs to happen. But like Judas, we all have certain flaws, certain character flaws that we can work on and we need help with. Judas is not a bad guy because he has character flaws. He's just human. It's just the nature of being alive. No one's perfect. We also share another thing in common with Judas. We all have a battle with sin. We all have something we struggle with. We all have something that challenges us. For him, it was greed. For him, it was stealing and helping himself to money. For him, it was looking out for himself. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We all have a problem with sin in some way. I don't know what it is, but we all struggle with something. Judas is not a bad guy, and he's not the bad guy here because he has a problem with sin, because we all have that. You know, something else that I think sometimes we can share in common with Judas, if you look at Matthew 26, beginning in verse 21, we don't always see the danger of our sin. We don't always see the immediate need to do away with sin. And when we allow the idea, or we allow that sin to just kind of hang around in the periphery of our life, eventually Satan finds that opportunity to enter and lead us down a path we wish we hadn't have gone. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 21, it says, and as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." What a sight. What a night and what a meal. Of all that took place there in this Last Supper, they have this discussion where Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." And then they began to, "Well, who is it? Is it me? Is it I?" And then Jesus plainly tells them who it is, and they still don't get it. I wonder what it was like after Jesus had ascended and after they began to preach the gospel, as they thought back to this Last Supper and they thought, "Oh, duh, he told us. It's right there. I understand now." But even Judas himself still doesn't fully grasp what he's about to do, what he knows he's going to do. And he said, "Is it I?" You know, how often are we in the same place as Judas? Is it I? Now, Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, we see the speck in someone else's eye, but we miss the log that is in our own eye. Can't we see, as we look at Judas, isn't it obvious what he did? Isn't it obvious what he did was wrong? He's obviously the bad guy in the story. But when we pull back and we think, what did Judas really do? How many times have we had sin in front of us and we gave in, but we didn't think it was as serious as it really is? Sometimes we don't see the danger of the sin we commit. And when we do that, we're just like Judas. And just like Judas, we all have a chance at redemption. Let's face it, let's be honest. We're all Judas at some point. Some point in our life, we find ourselves in a position where we choose something over righteousness. We choose something over following God and following the path that Jesus set. We choose that. We consciously make a choice to reject Jesus. Now, we may not say, "I'm going to betray him today," but our actions, what we do, things that openly bring the cross to shame, it's no different than what Judas did. We all find ourselves in his position at some point. But here's a question. Do you want to be known for your mistakes? Do you want to be known? When people talk about you in the future, when they list your name, do you want to be named as this who did this? That's Judas, isn't it? Judas who betrayed him. Now let's all admit, we've got a problem of sin. But man, I don't want to wear that name. Do you? I don't want a little name tag I have to wear around that says, "This is my sin. This is what I gladly do." I don't want that name tag. I don't want to have to wear that name and to be known for that. That's who Judas is. But we have a chance at redemption where Jesus takes that name tag and he wipes that name off and he puts his name on. We could be known as his. We all have a chance at redemption. Here's the thing. We can never doubt God's ability to forgive. Some of us make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Some of those mistakes seem big. You know, we like to categorize sin, even though sin is sin. We like the big sins, the little sins. You know, some sins are worse than others. I just told a little white lie. Well, I killed somebody. Well, them two don't equal, right? Murder's worse than a white lie. Not really. Not in the eyes of God. What is sin? They have different consequences. But sin is sin. Sin separates us from God. Never doubt God's ability to forgive. Because if God can forgive Peter, who on three occasions, I don't know that man. I don't know him. I wasn't with him. I don't have anything to do with him. If God can forgive Peter, then can't God forgive Judas? He could have. Judas was not past forgiveness. Judas rejected forgiveness. That is why, unfortunately, when we look at Judas today, he's the bad guy. He's the guy with the name tag. He's the guy that we remember for the sin that he committed, not for the life that he could have had. We all have a chance at redemption. We should never doubt God's ability to forgive. As we close this morning, to me, Judas is one of the saddest stories in all Scripture. It's a sad story because he gave up. It's a sad story because he's the bad guy in the story. He didn't have to be remembered this way. It didn't have to turn out this way. His fate could have been so different. But what we learn from this, what we learn from the story of Peter that coupled with this, is that we all have been Judas, but we all don't have to follow his ending. There is a happy ending. And if you're like me, when you read stories and you watch movies and you like good stories, you want them to end well. You know, you don't like stories that don't end well. It leaves you feeling icky, you know. You like stories to end well. Our story has a happy ending. It can have a happy ending. It will have a happy ending if we give our lives to Christ, devote ourselves to Him, and when we find ourselves in the position of Judas, we don't give up. We seek redemption because it's there. It's available. The whole point of what this is leading up to, what we've studied for the last 2 weeks and what we're going to study again this week, the whole point of leading up to Jesus on the cross and His resurrection is our story of redemption. And there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to take that story away unless we reject the redemption that Jesus offers. Unless we reject God, that story is there for our happy ending. And it will always be there. It will not go away. We have a chance to have the happiest ending to our lives if we simply seek Him. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you to do so. If you've heard the message, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, having Him take whatever it is we've done, whatever we may be known for, and wiping that off and putting His name on us and calling us His. Having our sins washed away, being clean and whole, headed to live with Him. Maybe here this morning and you've had moments where you feel like Judas, where there's just mistakes and you feel like God's just not going to forgive me. I've made too many. Never doubt God's ability to forgive. We can never get so far away that He can't bring us back if we seek Him. Just come back to Him and have that happy ending. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?